Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonniewell, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Truth Straight Up.
Truth Straight Up. Happy Party Friday, everybody. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. We're going to have, at the bottom of the hour, a commentator, Patricia Antone, come on. I don't know if you guys like us. Did you see where Ken Buck was saying, we want to use the 25th Amendment to get rid of Joe Biden? You're like, what is up with Ken Buck? No one thinks he's actually conservative and has conservative values and is doing that. And she has a pretty interesting theory on it. So we're going to have her on there. But once again, it was Fannie Willis court day.
Chuck,
Chuck was busy doing his legal analysis to himself and me.
I should give it out to the universe. I'll be joining others.
But again, at the end of it, so it was sort of closing arguments, the
final summations.
Okay, but yeah, and the judge said basically in a couple weeks. Within a couple of weeks, he'll issue a decision on whether she should be disqualified or not.
It was fascinating. During the couple of days of taking testimony and all that, certain lawyers led, and then they drop out when they did really shitty or something else. But normally, if you start out the case and you ask most of the questions, you do the final summation stuff here. Yeah, I mean, so they start out, the woman attorney.
Who was Fannie Willis's attorney.
No. She was... Ashley Marchand. And she was pretty good. She was representing the Trump defendant. It wasn't Trump, but another one. She was pretty good. But she didn't appear at all today, in part because they attacked her the day before. Who knows? She had her husband, who was mediocre. And he gave about 10 minutes. And then Trump's attorney came on, who's been doing a good job on cross and other things. He was mediocre. And then a new guy came up, white hair, hadn't seen him before, hadn't talked, knocked it out of the box. He just bam, bam, bam. There's six bases for the appearance or the propriety of interest. And he was just enormously good. I mean, he just went, woo, there's a lawyer. And then they went over to the state. Now, Aaron Cross, who was
Anna Cross,
had headed up for the state, but she'd done one thing. She had gotten Bradley on a cross-examination who was really trying to do her as much good as he could, and she just butchered him. Said, you know, weren't you fired for molesting not just one little girl, but two little girls?
No, it was sexual assault on a coworker, right?
Same thing.
Okay.
No difference.
No worries about libel here, but anyway.
That guy doesn't have to worry about libel.
Who's the lawyer, but go ahead. So she sucked so bad they didn't let her come back.
No, they didn't let, she wasn't even in the courtroom.
Yeah.
And so they have this kid who comes up. He doesn't know what he's doing. I've never seen a worse summation in my life. Halting, unable to answer questions.
Well, and we have a sound with him. Yeah. So I pulled some sound where somebody was posting. This guy's name is Adam Abate. So he is.
Adam Abate just blew his career.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the worst. He's got to go into wills and trust law or something, but he's not a litigator.
Well,
just
finish this up, because I've covered a lot of court cases, and it's not unusual, I would say, for the judge to throw something or something to come up that the lawyer wasn't prepared for. But usually what lawyers do is they frown. Yes. They frown concernedly, right?
They turn and they walk.
They kind of look like it's a stupid question. But this guy just looks like, what? And then he pauses way too long. So if we could please play the soundbite from the Fannie Willis Kate Thomas.
What I would say is misstates the law as it relates to what the law or what is required in order for an elected district attorney and their office to be disqualified. And what I would submit to the court is...
Let's go back to that. Show me how.
Yes. Show you how.
So I think the first one they cited was battle versus the state. Certainly a conflict of interest. Or the appearance of impropriety would be the grounds of disqualification. Well, there are a number of these cases that seem to exclusively rely on the appearance of impropriety.
Right.
So they acknowledge that there's some ambiguity here, that sometimes Whitworth gets cited to Ventura, and we've got this quote that comes up where it's just they only cite to an actual conflict that must be involved. They acknowledge the ambiguity. You're saying there's no ambiguity whatsoever.
I'm not sure what I'm saying, Your Honor.
They should have just let him sit there for 5 minutes. He didn't even know what the question is because he didn't know what he said.
That was wrong. Is he was clearly scrolling down his screen, right?
Right.
He didn't have anything memorized. He didn't have any notes that he could kind of flip back
just
through.
Reading.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I saw reporters when I was a reporter doing it, where they would do live shots on their phone, right? And they would have the thing on their phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here's what happens. If something happens, it throws you.
Yeah, then you're just staring at the phone.
That's right. It's a nonsense thing.
But he was awful. I mean, he was like, and he asked, well, how can an incredibly important case down in Georgia, can you have somebody this awful? And I'll
say, that's they have, maybe. No. I mean, if Fannie Willis is a DA, Chuck, no, I mean, you got to wonder, what did he ask them on their bar exam questions? It's like, so they, I like went on a little caption, check all of the circles that have stoplights in them.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, you're good to be an attorney in Georgia.
Well, here's what happens. If you have a case that's going absolute like shit, which this one was going, nobody wants to destroy their reputation by stepping in and getting smacked. Nobody wanted to go down there and give the fight. So therefore, I said, Bob, no, I got to get my hair cut. Well, maybe you could bring in Tom. No, I'm gone. Long weekend. So everybody in the office, you would not want to appear because you had such an awful, awful case to present. And so all they were left with is kid who obviously wasn't intended to do it at the beginning. So he's typed it all up. Someone
gave it to him. And there's your talking points.
Oh, man, was he awful. It was just so embarrassing.
1 year ago, I was covering a case and it was... It was an AT&T case when it was Ma Bell, right? It was a giant, complex civil litigation kind of thing, right? It had been like a massive, like 4-week trial, and the reporter who had been covering the trial was sick that day, so that they sent me down to cover the verdict, right? And I'm like, I guess kind of experienced court reporter, and I figure I can kind of wing my way through it. And they're starting the thing, and unbeknownst to me, there were like 800, not 800, but like 40, literally like 40 different verdicts, right?
Oh my God.
So for at first, they're like, you know, on count one, not guilty,
or
count two, not
guilty,
right? And all of a sudden, halfway through, they're like, count 48, guilty. And I'm like, what the frick? So I go out to do my live report, and I just say, well, there was a mixed bag. And so then the anchor says to me, well, Julie, was it mostly good or mostly bad for people? And I wanted to say, I have no clue. You guys threw me out here. I have no idea what I'm talking about. This is, everyone just go back to doing whatever you were doing. So I kind of could relate to that kid if they just threw it at him.
You could say, well, if you got convicted on any count, it's not good. It doesn't matter if you're not.
I know, but you know what I mean. He was asking for analysis, which is annoying because he knew. But at any rate, the judge said, because I wanted to talk about some of the other things, because this is a very good week for Trump and America First people, I think. So the judge said sometime within the next 2 weeks, he'll come up with stuff. Other good news, though, I think the Lawfare cases were never really intended, I don't think, to withstand the scrutiny of a courtroom. They were just supposed but they were, the major point was to try to intimidate Trump and to hurt Trump with his backfire.
No. There was to get him before unfair judges, which happened up in New York, happened in Washington, didn't happen in Miami, happened in Georgia. And they just hope, no matter how bad the evidence is, they'd convict him no matter what, which has happened in the New York fraud case. It happened in the...
But the main Lawfare cases are starting to crumble, because what happened this week is the Supreme Court said it would take up the question of presidential immunity. What that means is Jack Smith's January 6th thing against Trump is probably going to go to trial after the election, right? They're not going to get to it before the election. Also, what happened...
Well, but also you have to wonder, It depends on what they decide on immunity.
Well, right. I mean, it could go away completely. But if you're the lawfare, you know, anti-Trump people, at the worst case you have is it comes after the election, which is, of course, pointless for them. And Nikki Haley, by the way, who's complaining about how long it's taking. The other thing is the in the Florida case, there was the documents case, Judge Cannon, they were in court today.
And she's a Trump appointee.
She's a Trump appointee. And the Jack Smith, Weiss people were trying to say, well, we need to have a trial July 7th. And she's right. Like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Right.
You know? So that's been delayed. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court is poised to rule anytime soon, I think, on the Colorado ballot issue, which is like, because that Illinois traffic judge, literally a traffic court judge, took Trump off the ballot in Illinois. That's what we've come down to. And that's likely, I mean, right now, all the legal experts are saying it's going to go away. The other thing on the obstruction charges, right? The Justice Department made this massively incredulous leap as to what's obstruction, and the Supreme Court is poised to rule on that sometime soon. And again, the legal experts expect that to be thrown out. I mean, so I think a lot of the lawfare stuff they have is crumbling. And in the meantime, Trump is, now this is Bloomberg, and again, polls, you got to always take with a grain of salt, they have Trump up in all of the swing states.
All seven, yeah.
Right? So the lawfare, not only is it not working with the people, because I think they were hoping that they could just talk about this and not have to worry about the border, not have to worry about inflation, not have to worry about the fact that Biden is incompetent. And in the end, I just think they filed so many fake, fraudulent, corrupt lawsuit
cases. Well, some of them worked out. They've got, you know, $400 million thing, and that's...
And that, well, he says, you'll, I mean, really, do you think he's going to end up having to pay that?
Maybe.
I mean, who knows? Well, it's been a hassle, which it has done. But I think it's been much.
Now he's going for the criminal case where they say, well, you didn't fully disclose that this money went to a stripper or something.
I was saying it was campaign donations, even though it occurred before he was actually even campaigning.
Right.
So, but again, I think they were hoping that all of these lawfare cases would be crippling to Trump. And instead, it's just been like, it's just an annoyance, right? It's like those video games that Rev plays on Meta where you go,
it's far from over.
No, but in the meantime, though, I'm just saying it was a very good week for Trump.
An encouraging week.
I think. But let me go. We had a ton of comments. Let me go back and to get this from Sandra. I keep forgetting to ask regarding our intro. After how long, Chuck, is the woman that looks like Lady Bird Johnson your mother? That's your mother. That's in the but yeah, for you in the graduation. That is his mother. Her name Lucy.
Lucy.
That's right. Okay. Then Jacob, happy Friday. Something I read. If the Democrats' new Green Deal eliminates cows with gas, who will be the new hosts on The View? Then Sandra says, Jacob, LOL, so good. I needed that. And then let's see, Sandra, attorneys, associates are in big trouble because you know they're the ones that did the research. And then Jacob, remember that Fulton County is the home of Matlock. And then Leo says, well, that lawyer can always go work at an AT&T store. That's right.
No, he could.
Yeah, no, they would.
They'd want faster answers than that.
They can have they should have had like Google AI do it.
Or something
like that, although that hasn't been going that well. But I think, though, and this has just been my initially, I was way back when concerned about all of these law cases, right?
Yeah.
But as time goes on, the absurdity of them. And I think tell me what you think about this. Even if the judge does not take Fannie Willis off the case, and I think there's a significant chance he won't.
I think there's like an 80%.
Yeah, I think there's a significant chance he'll say, well, this looks bad and it seems bad.
Totality is a concern.
You know, everything, I'm just going to leave her there. I think the whole thing, and she has been exposed as such a corrupt joke that...
Well, the whole Fulton County DA's office is a corrupt joke.
Right. And so in the end, I think the PR value, anyone paying any attention is just, this is yet another, like the Jean Carroll, right? What a goofball she is. And they award him all of these cases over and over again. It's shown these are people who are, they're just persecuting Trump. They're just doing this because this is Trump. And I think that Americans, there's still a bunch of us out there, right, who are like, well, that's just not fair, you know, and that's just not right. And they make it harder when, you know, because Trump, when he says, you know, when he talks about he's being victimized by this, he's right. It's hard to complain about saying, oh, Trump's just a whiner. It's like, well, no, look what they're doing to him, right?
This is what they do in third world countries is what we've become.
Well, and there was another hearing, that a ruling that came down today, and this was from, I think, two Clinton and one Obama appointed appellate court judges that said, so some of the January 6th judges, the DC district judges, right, have been putting in for people with nonviolent January 6th convictions. And that's just right now to say all of those are bogus to begin with, right? But the ones who were convicted, some of these judges were using
add-on sentences,
sort of sentence enhancers, basically, yes, right? Yes. Making what would be a misdemeanor, saying, well, I'm going to call this like a mass murder conviction, right. Yes. and adding that. And the judges in these cases came down and said they couldn't do that. So that's going to
It's been 10 years, not 22.
Well, yeah. But I mean, still, it's, I don't know. I just sense there's a tide turning. At a certain point, I think even some judges are like, we just all look like pieces of crap. Well, do you know what I mean? And I mean, again, in Illinois, literally an Illinois traffic court judge threw Trump off the ballot. I mean, what a joke is that, right? Hopefully, the Supreme Court, now the Colorado primary is Tuesday. So I'm not sure what's, but I don't know. I would imagine the Supreme Court would rule. I guess they don't really say when they're going to rule, do they, or do they?
No.
So we'll know on that. And then from Jim Jackson on the thing, there's, they will play the race card and keep her on. From Jacob, then there is a little known story that Jack Smith is a federal employee and not eligible to be an independent prosecutor unless he's voted in by the U.S. Senate. The whole thing, I mean, would it really shock you if all of a sudden you realized that he's not even a lawyer?
he's not really eligible.
One other thing I wanted to talk about here, too, the whole border thing. And I mentioned this before, it's interesting. When I was a reporter and there'd be a crime committed by an illegal alien who had been arrested, deported, released from jail, like the guy who killed Lake and Riley, right? They wouldn't let me say that it was an illegal immigrant, right? Because they said, but now that's changed too. And that's being reported widely. And Biden—
But also, Biden's one, they refer to him as newcomers.
They call them newcomers. Well, that's true.
It's accurate.
They're newcomers. There we go. Well, so Biden went down to the border where there weren't very many newcomers coming in anymore because he was going to the border there, right? Trump went to the border where there were a ton of newcomers going in. I don't know if you saw the video where he waves it.
Yeah, they all wave back. Yeah, Donald.
But just to show sort of just the different and the Democrat Party, it's just like the whole Palestinian Israel thing. They're kind of screwed there because the bigger, you know, the majority of Americans feels one way, but the deranged progressive radicals in the party feel another way. And there's no really crossing that, right?
Yeah, the only crossing is when they lie.
Right.
And they're so good. I mean, Joe Biden just lies. It doesn't matter. But all these things, and they had, I don't know, Murphy of Connecticut. And he was going, that bipartisan border bill would have taken care of all of this, but Trump really just wants to make the thing worse. And they just lied.
Trump, and no one even believes that. But so here's what Biden is forced to do. So they go down that both Biden and Trump were at the border yesterday. I'm in very different places under very different circumstances. And Biden, knowing that he can't actually talk about the border, turns it into a whole climate control thing, climate change things. And Trump actually talked about the young woman who was murdered, not because she was a solo female athlete, as you know, the Associated Press would have you believe.
There's newcomer.
Because she was attacked and brutally killed by...
She wasn't a newcomer.
Killed by the newcomer. But if we could just listen to the way Biden talks and then Trump talks, if we could please play the Biden-Trump sound bites.
The idea there's no such thing as climate change. I love that, man. I love some of my Neanderthal friends who still think there's no climate change. Well, my administration is going to keep building on the progress we've made fighting climate crisis, and we're going to keep helping folks rebuild themselves.
Just 1 week ago, a beautiful 22-year-old nursing student from Georgia was barbarically attacked, almost unrecognizable, while she was out on her morning run. She was a morning run. She was doing a keep herself in shape. She was a beautiful young woman. She was a great person, best nursing student there was. I spoke to her parents yesterday. They're incredible people. They're devastated beyond belief. but she was beautiful, just so beautiful in so many ways, and brutally assaulted, horrifically beaten, kidnapped and savagely murdered. The monster that charged in the death is an illegal alien migrant who was led into our country and released into our communities by crooked Joe Biden. He's crooked. I took the name away from Hillary.
I mean, so who do you think American people are relating more to? And did you see those poor Border Patrol people, agents standing back there? They weren't even Border Patrol agents. They were like paid actors, I think, because the Border Patrol was like, you've abandoned.
Oh, that's right. It's climate change. That's what they're doing.
What the frick? And I imagine that his staff must have said, we can't actually go down there and talk about the border because we can't say we're going to do anything.
Yeah, blame it on.
Well, he didn't even blame it. He just kind of randomly started talking about climate change. You know, I saw a Babylon Bee picture where they showed all these ballot drop boxes at the ballot at the border. And it's like, I mean, that's what, if you're Biden, you can't go down there and say, you know, look, this is part of our plan to take over the country and to destroy elections even further. So get used to it, folks. And if a few hundred or more people have to die, if Denver has to furlough its own employees, if your city's going to crap.
Illegal alien employees.
Right, yeah, exactly. Who, you know, again, they're going to what? They're going to hire some illegal alien cartel member who's been deported multiple times, is wanted for murder back in whatever country he came from, and he's going to be working at the kids section of the library. I mean, like, seriously, that's what Denver's plan is. Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say that. They're like, oh, that's a good idea, Julie.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got to wonder why Donald Trump is winning and why the border issue, if they had just been a little bit more clever, they could have continued just sneaking people in, and they could have
They don't care. They just, you know, how do we get 10 million people in?
Well, and again, you look at the redistricting and they're like, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're going to redistrict, we're going to put all of them in certain places. So they're going to have 80 congressional representatives, right, and all of you people have like one. And I don't know. It's on one hand alarming to me because I'm not sure if they're stupid and they just, or you know what I mean? Or they actually are just really smart and they know that they've got the system beat so much, it doesn't matter. You think?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any hope then?
No.
Well, Chuck, it's Party Friday.
So we're going to
move on from that. Chuck's not being bad. We want to talk more about, you know, should I play the Italian TV?
Yes, okay. We need that right now. A little upper.
We have Patricia Antonis coming up, so we want to save room for her. This is hilarious. And in a way, it's kind of depressing because this is what the rest of the world thinks of us.
Accurately thinks of us.
This is Jacob. Maybe the federal government should do the Denver thing and cut Biden's hours down to zero. They are down to zero, Jacob. They are down to zero. It doesn't make any difference. But anyway, this is a hilarious video. This is on Italian TV. It's a spoof of Joe Biden. Thomas, if we could please play the Italian TV Biden thing. This is just funny.
Buonasera. Presidente Biden. Oh, Presidente Biden. President, Mr. President. It's okay. Okay. Tutto a posto. Welcome. Benvenuto. Oh, di nuovo. President, Mr. President, ecco. Mr. President,
my name is Joe Kennedy.
No, Biden, lei è Biden. Biden, ma con chi parla?
Certo, prego. Ecco, se riesce, if you can.
No, sta girando su. No, no, Mr. President, no, not turn. No, no, you have
no,
to.
No, my name is Joe Kennedy.
Ha già salutato. Lasci stare.
Isn't that funny? Sadly, it's true. Sadly, it's pretty true, though, I don't think. Anyway, that was just your Party Friday thing. I think I saw Patricia come on. Patricia, are you there in the Zoom meeting? If you are, you can go ahead and turn your camera on and unmute yourself.
Well, hi there. I didn't turn my camera on, and I'm afraid my camera is not working. I don't
Okay.
know what the deal is with that. So I'm sorry about that.
No worries. I do that sometimes too when I have bad hair. So,
Doesn't bother me.
So Patricia Antone, she's a commentator, has her own podcast, which we'll let you tell her about. But she had, and I had two people, by the way, two friends send me links to your column saying, oh my God, this is a great concept. So we were all kind of wondering, and Chuck and I talked about it when earlier this week, Ken Buck, who is, well, and I'll let you explain your column, all the things he's voted against, suddenly out of the blue decides that we should use the 25th Amendment to get rid of Joe Biden. We're like, what's up with that? I mean, it's reasonable, but it's like, but that's coming from Ken Buck. It's like,
Excellent.
did Liz Cheney call him or something? And then you have a
Yeah, we're good
very,
friends.
very interesting theory. Patricia, why don't you tell us what your theory is, at least your question about the whole thing is?
Well, I think it makes sense to question it because he is the same guy that basically refused to call out Mayorkas on all this border stuff that we are talking about. And wouldn't even give so much as a slap on the wrist to what's her name, Rashida, and
Oh,
all
yes,
of that. So
Louise.
so yeah. So given that, it's hard to trust that this is a goodwill attempt, even though we all agree that Biden isn't competent to be a president anymore. So we get that. But I think that there's something in it for him, and I think that probably it benefits the Democrat Party. As did his votes not to call out Mayorkas, as did his votes not to call out Rashid, Tlaib and all that. So, and or Schiff. So I think that it does benefit. And I think the reason it benefits them is that they are completely underwater on this border thing and on so many other things. And so this distracts, plus it gives Biden a pass. Biden is now they're tightening the case against Biden in all of this, in his influence peddling. And in Hunter's business dealings and all of that is that's tightening and it's a good case now. And it's a matter of record now, and it's getting out there in a manner that's not getting adequately censored. So it's getting into the public domain. So I think that is another reason that perhaps they're like looking to shield him from accountability to that. Oh, I'm
Also,
senile.
if they actually did it, the Democrats could put somebody else in.
Right.
Yes,
Well,
they
and that,
could, and they will. I think they
yes.
will. Yes,
And
exactly.
you're saying, and I think it, I mean, this is very clever, you, Patricia, because we read that and we're like, I think you're absolutely right. Because when, well, at least potentially right, because it's very difficult if you're a Democrat to propose that, right? That doesn't look good. But if you get your good buddy and apparent, Democrat operative Ken Buck to propose it, and of course, Republicans would be happy to do it, right? All of a sudden now you get rid of Joe
Well, and
Biden.
I've even heard on the social media boards some people saying, oh, well, Ken Buck is on the right side of a thing for
Oh,
once,
sure.
So it's fooling a lot of people who don't look deeper and say, what is in it for the Democrat Party? And
Right,
what
right.
they get to jettison a big fat problem and then start fresh. We've breathed new life into the Democrat campaign if we can get rid of Joe Biden and drop in, say, Michelle Obama,
Yeah. Or well, whoever. And I think, because the Democrats that could go
Jared
back and
Polis.
Jared, yeah, Jared Polis. I think there's a lot of conflict, I think, within the Democrat Party. I mean, all of a sudden, Joe Biden is not getting the pass that he used to get on stuff. And it's clear
No.
people are questioning it. And yet you read things like, who are they going to get, right? I mean, it would be normally it would be easy because they could put Kamala Harris in, but she's like even more unpopular than Joe Biden.
Right.
Michelle Obama probably doesn't want it, otherwise she would have jettisoned in by now. But I think you're right. And again, Mitch McConnell would be happy to help the Democrats too. And I think
Well,
that
and
just makes
Gavin
sense.
Newsom, you can see that Gavin Newsom
Right?
is interested.
Exactly. And so if
And
you
I
have
think they've
the
been putting feelers out too.
right. Well, who knows? I suspect there's a secret Democrat primary going on, but I like what you say. It's because initially when I saw that, I almost retweeted and thought, because saying Ken Buck is doing the right thing for once. And then I stopped myself because I'm like, wait a minute, what am I not getting here? Because it's like, why suddenly is Ken Buck, I mean, he's been against the January 6th people. He's been, I mean, so, I mean, against anything that the Republican Party is actually trying to accomplish. And he's willing to be one or two votes against the
Well,
Republicans,
and
too.
he's not running for re-election, but if he were, he would literally have to run as a Democrat because he has lined up with their causes and their ideas so much. So he would
Yeah,
literally
true.
have to run as a Democrat.
And you're right. So if they can use this, and if they could get the Republicans on board, and they could, and the Democrats would say, oh, well, we were overwhelmed. What could we say? And all of a sudden, boom, they get rid of Joe Biden. Or at the very least, this is the other thing I think they have, is they have the threat, right? If they can convince Joe Biden that they being the people who are actually running the Democrat Party, that he's about to be ousted, I think that might work, too. I don't know that they'd do you think, I mean, Patricia, do you think
how would they communicate that?
Well, they would just start filing it. Right. And they might not
but
have to actually
read
go.
Anymore.
Well, someone would read, Jill would read it to him. But I mean, they wouldn't even have to carry through with it. They could just make the threat credible. And you're right. And it's sort of like that solves all the Democrats' problems. Whereas if you're Ken Buck, the point right now is like, no, Ken, leave him in place. He's the best thing that's happened to Donald Trump.
Right.
Well, not the best thing, but right now. And so, yeah, typical Ken Buck, then he's like, oh, let's get rid of the candidate that we want to run against. And that's put a significant candidate in there.
We've already suffered all the damage that having a senile president can inflict, basically. We 95% of the damage that could be inflicted by doing such a stupid thing is already in the bag. So we're not solving a problem by jettisoning him just before he faces our opponent.
Right.
So
right.
I think that any Republican that looks at this move right now would have to conclude that. It's like, why now?
Right. Well, you're right. It'd be kind of like, to throw in a sports analogy, it'd be like if the Broncos are playing the Chiefs and Russell Wilson is our quarterback, and all of a sudden Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes said, let's go get, I don't know what, the best quarterback out there back and put them in and replace Russell Wilson, because that would be more fair. It'd be like,
exactly.
No. It's like, no.
That's a good analogy, Julie. That's a good analogy.
I mean, it's exactly like that. It would be like, oh, it's so unfair for us to play Russell Wilson.
They have no chance with Russell Wilson.
We'll let Patrick play both sides.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you're right. Why would Ken Buck want to get rid of the greatest liability that the Democrats have right now?
There you go. That's a good summary of the question. Yep. And so once you've asked the right question, then coming up with the right answers is pretty much easy, actually.
Yeah. Well, you were brilliant, though. You're the only one who I saw that did that. And seriously, I had two people. So what do you think? Because you're from, you're from Colorado, and you have a podcast here too. And I know when we were on 710 KNUS, I think we had you on the show. What do you think happened to Ken Buck?
What went wrong?
What went
wrong? Some neurons. Brain freeze.
I think the same thing happened to Ken Buck that happens to a lot of these people that go to Washington. And they get caught up in the ruling class mentality that says, what can we do to establish or keep the established ruling class healthy and going forward at the expense of the rest of the nation? Basically, they are interested in preserving establishment ruling class. And
yes.
So, yeah, I think that's what ends up happening. He's headed from here probably to K Street, where he will be handsomely rewarded. So, that's kind of the path.
Here's my theory, and we know Ken a little bit. We were around Ken after he got his second divorce, and we go to parties, and he'd always be looking for somebody to date, which is never easy when you're in your 60s and stuff.
But, yeah, that's true.
Looking around, he finally found Ted Trimpa's associate, just a hot-looking girl.
Ted Trimpa is like a key Democrat national strategist.
Oh, this is interesting. I didn't know this.
And so, he was so happy. But after a while, she dumped him. She kind of went, I can get a 40-year-old. And so she dumped him. And now he's caught in Washington, D.C. If you're a conservative in Washington, D.C., you're not going to get a date. So he's just doing
this. This is all trying to get a date.
He's just trying to get anybody.
Well, hey, who knows? Who knows? I imagine, though, that the general atmosphere and the general culture in Washington is establishment ruling class. And if you fail to align with it, you're going to be a pretty lonely person.
You're not going to go to the gay parties and stuff or get any of the good drugs.
And he wrote, years ago, and I think you're right. I mean, when we have another friend, Tom Tancredo, who said he thinks Ken Buck just kind of likes being a maverick and doesn't really particularly have any principles. But I think he's gone so far. I think he's just abandoned it. And so, and who knows, maybe he'll get, like you said, a K Street job. He can do that and commentary. But I just think though that was just really smart when you like you said, you have to ask the right questions. Well, let me ask you, because we haven't had you on obviously for years and years. What do you? This is one question I like to ask, and we had one of our listeners was like, we need to start a vice presidential pool and have a pool there. Who do you like, or who do you think? And I know this is totally none of us know, right? It's mm-hmm. like, but what do you think, vice president wise?
For Trump.
Right. For his pick. And I, you know, I'm sorry. I don't have anybody that I would say, oh yeah, go for that one. You know,
I gotta admit, I don't either. Right. I mean, you have all these names out there and I'm like, yeah.
Carrie Lake would be great, but she's got the Senate.
One of the things I think about Carrie Lake too, is that she shares with him executive experience. That's one thing. Then B, she also shares that whole electoral boondoggle. Mm-hmm. And so that I think really does help to align her attitude and her mission with his. So, you know, that would be a good choice.
Vice president has to be, at least in the eyes of his opponents, just as bad as Donald Trump.
Right.
So you don't, if they do an impeachment, they won't go, okay, great. We get, I don't know, Kim
Mike
Reynolds,
Pence.
Mike Pence.
We'll get Mike Pence again.
Yeah. So it's got to be somebody who they would view as awful as Donald.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
that's true.
Well, who knows? And sooner or later, they think once again, Donald Trump plays that correctly in that he kind of trolls us all, right? I don't know. He may not even know yet, but he gains nothing. I mean, he's even pointed out that the vice presidential candidate doesn't really have very much to do with the president getting elected, right?
Well, you also have to kind of look at the track record of Donald Trump picking people. It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
It is not good.
You're true. Yeah, that's right about that. He has had trouble choosing people that will stick and stay stay aligned with him.
Right.
There's so many incentives for ratting him out. You know what
right,
I mean?
Yes.
Right.
Once a person gets close to him, that person paints a huge target on themselves.
Yes.
And that target either takes the form of take him out or offer him the world. So,
right.
you know,
right.
yeah, it's.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, look at poor Sidney, not poor, but Sidney Powell, who then pleads guilty and kind of tosses Trump under the bus.
Well, I'd like to be Sidney mm-hmm. Powell along with Jenna Ellis.
Jenna
Ellis. They both mm-hmm. pleaded guilty for the case down in Georgia, which looks like maybe going under altogether. They can't bring back their guilty
right.
pleas.
And what's terrible about that is that it's absolutely opposite the truth. And both of them in their background in law know that this is true. This is true. I mean, they were invoking a constitutional provision. It was perfectly
right.
appropriate what he did. And the fact that that case has gone on as long as it has is just it's almost as stupid as the insurrection thing. Amendment 14 for the insurrection. It's almost as stupid as that, because here's an insurrection that never took place and with which no one was ever charged. And yet we're going to use that non-event as the basis on which the judiciary should pick our ballot choices for us.
Right.
Holy buns.
Well, and as we were talking earlier, and in Illinois, it's a magistrate, right? The equivalent of a traffic court judge.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, so that's what we have come down to now. Traffic court judges who want their 15 minutes of, you know, 30 seconds of fame. And she did indeed get it, right?
Yeah, sure.
But I mean, how can you call that anything but political, right? I mean, it's not even
remotely. I don't care anymore.
No, but what I was saying earlier in this show, Patricia, is I think some of their lawfare stuff is crumbling. It's getting delayed. It's being exposed. Some
right.
of it's working because it's harassing Trump. But I think anymore, they have gone so far over that's one of the reasons people support him, because I think people get how corrupt the judicial system is anymore. And I think they see, number one, the unfairness of it, but number two, mm-hmm. this thing, if they could do it to Donald Trump, it's like he always says, they could do it to me. And the only thing standing between them and us is him, don't you think?
I think that is so true. And I think that is one of the reasons why this lawfare campaign is actually working to his benefit in terms of the polls. So he's getting stronger support. But I think another thing is at play here, and I bring it out in that article that you referred to earlier, and that is, I think the Democrat Party is losing its ideological hold on all but its most crazy base people. Because I think that the kind of moderates who use their votes as virtue signals, that kind of Democrat who, oh, I just want to align with the party, the tolerance, and I just want to call myself compassion and all this bit. I think people who make their votes that way are now kind of going, wow, I have to part company with some of this craziness. So,
Right.
and that doesn't happen until your a virtue signal vote ends up costing you when your own child's school gets closed
Or
to
your kid
use
is
as a.
taken away from you for a tranny operation without your knowledge or consent.
Exactly. Yeah, some of these things are going crazy. And so people who were kind of, somewhat moderate and just really wanted to use their vote as a virtue signal, that's all I want to do. And holy buckets, now my whole city is falling apart. I think that's it's changing people.
No, you're exactly right. You look at the illegal immigration thing, and who knows, Denver, I sometimes think is too crazy to be saved. But you're exactly right. It's one thing to virtue signal and say, oh, we're the welcoming country and everyone's welcome here, and you're racist if you don't support illegal immigration. But it's an entirely different thing when you're being furloughed. So an illegal immigrant with no experience or anything can be hired to take your, I mean, that's different. Or, you've got these people at some of those hotels now, like at Spear and Zuni, that have become just illegal immigrant hotels. I mean, and it's dangerous to walk in your own community. It's exactly as you said. It's like that's a whole different thing. It's like,
Now it
okay.
cost me personally. And the
Right.
whole deal with virtue signal voting is that it wasn't supposed to come home to roost.
Yes.
I was supposed to be insulated in my virtue signal and rewarded monetarily by the party and all this. And now all of a sudden that's not happening. I'm getting hit with the actual consequences and they're coming into my neighborhood. Holy
Right.
wow, that's not
Well,
good.
one of the things about the lawfare is that a lot of black males have been part of the justice system. And if you've ever been part of an inner city justice system, it is incredibly unfair. If they arrest you, you're done. The system is so overwhelming that you're dead. And they've watched Trump, all of a sudden get a poster for him of his jailhouse picture. And they go, I like that guy. He knows what I've been through.
Okay.
He
So
becomes more relatable.
they're creating an alignment that wasn't there
Yes,
before.
they really are.
I got it. I
I mean,
got it.
he's
Okay.
not getting black women votes, but he's getting a lot of black men
Black
votes.
men votes. Okay.
Did you see there was another thing too, the Colorado legislature? I think they passed it out of committee. I don't think it passed final, or maybe the House. It was that crazy bill that there are a bunch of things in it, but one of the things it does is say that if a kid at school, no matter what grade they're in, changes their identity from day to day, right? The school has to adjust to that and can be, I guess, sued for discrimination, right? If they don't keep up with it. And they don't have to tell the parents. The parents don't need to know that this is even going on. And that goes, I think, to your point, right? That if you're a parent, I think even if you're a liberal Democrat parent, you're like, well, I think I at least should know or be informed if my kid,
Oh, but can
It's
you
one
imagine
thing
being a teenager and that rule goes in? I mean, you're
Oh.
changing your pronouns every couple of weeks.
Oh, just to mess with the teachers.
Oh, yeah,
Heck
absolutely.
yeah. Heck
No,
yeah.
you misgendered me. You kind of, you
Yeah.
look any different than before. I identify
This
as
morning.
a helicopter, and you misgendered me.
Well, and I think that a lot of parents that had previously embraced this abstraction,
Right.
now it's not abstract. Now
No.
my child, Cindy, has come home and reported
Decided
that.
she's a
Yeah.
code.
And you want to say to the teachers union, hey, you helped create this too,
Yeah.
right? You guys have created,
Well, they're big in their own
I mean,
pronouns
our
and
son
gender
turns 13.
fluidity.
Well, but our he turns 13 tomorrow, and like middle
God help
school.
us.
Yeah, I know middle
God
school.
help
No,
us.
he's great.
He is great, but God help us.
But middle school is tricky enough to navigate your way through. And sometimes I look at
Well, he
those.
says it's all the girls that do it. The guys, all the girls, yeah, I have
But
another
the
gender.
teachers have enough stuff to deal with, right? I mean, and again, it's a teachers' union. It's like you put these people in power, right? And so now this is what's going to happen to you. I mean, because the Colorado legislature, I mean, do you follow them at all? What's going, I mean, it's just crazy what they're
Oh, it's
doing down
crazy
there.
down there, yeah.
I haven't been following as close as I need to, obviously. Look at that I did not
Yeah,
know about
you
this
don't want
bill
to. It's
that
an
yeah,
ugly
we're
thing to
going full
follow.
Oregon here. Holy crap.
It just might. Okay, and so now here's, because this is leading up, Leo, you segued into my question. All of our guests, I don't know if you can see the Zoom comments like you. This is Patricia Antone, and they're like, she's good. Where can you read her stuff? So Patricia, where can people hear you
America
and
Out
get you?
Loud. I write for America Out Loud. And so if you go to America Out Loud and then you search on Patricia Antone, Antone, and you can get my articles there. I also on we have a new show. It's called Unleash, the Political Hour on America Out Loud. And so we
Wow.
kind of share hosting of that. And so there are five different hosts for each of the 5 different days of the week. That's a Monday through Friday show. And
All
that
right.
airs at 5 p.m. our time, 7 p.m. Eastern time. So,
That's great.
and
That's
then
great.
and they can just catch the podcast then at where?
AmericaOutloud.com.
AmericaOutloud.com. Okay,
Oh, I'm
well,
sorry,
listen.
AmericaOutloud.news. What am I saying? It's
Okay.
AmericaOutloud.news.
Okay.
That news,
Yeah.
NEWS.
See. And I do want to caution people, you got to be careful because if you put America Out Loud, you get Google in their wisdom gives you liberal stuff, right? I mean, because I
Yeah.
did the two, because I'm like, this doesn't look like somebody who might want to come on our show when I was looking.
Oh,
And then
dear.
I went to the link, the actual link, and you're right, it's dot news. So it makes a
Dot news.
difference.
Okay,
Yeah.
makes a big difference. Yes. Thank you very much for clarifying
Well,
that. Yeah.
thanks so much for coming on. It's great to hear you again.
Yeah, thank you for
Appreciate you
analyzing Ken
having
Buck
me.
for us. All right,
Okay.
thank you.
Goodbye.
Patricia Antone there. Yes, the column is great and it makes total sense.
Yeah.
On Monday, we want to talk about,
What do we want to talk about?
well, I think once again,
Fannie Willis is over other than the decision. This is awful.
yeah.
This is awful.
What?
I'm gonna wait another half
There'll
year,
be another
year.
trial.
No, it's not that easy, Julie. Not that easy.
The establishment rhinos in Colorado do not like people questioning them or pushing back or not bending over and saying, sure, you know. And the head of the Colorado GOP, Dave Williams, grassroots warrior, has not been a good boy as
No,
far as they're concerned. He has not been doing what they told him. So they've launched an all-out attack on him, yet another all-out attack, which of course only they read and they do. But I think this is one that deserves defending here. What the Colorado Sun, the Gazette will pick it up. They're attacking Dave for a mailer that the GOP sent out. They're saying that he sent out a pro-Trump mailer. And this is just
how
a,
dare they?
how dare they? The guy who was leading the party, who was leading the nation. It's
Who he
like,
endorsed as a party?
yeah, how dare the Colorado GOP send out a pro-Trump
It
mailer?
should be a pro Nikki Haley and then be okay.
Exactly. And they call this another, the latest example of Williams using his party leadership to benefit or defend himself and his allies. Well, I'm sorry. Isn't that his job to defend the and his allies being Donald Trump?
Us.
Yeah, well, and us, right? It's like, how dare the head of a Colorado Republican Party use his leadership position to defend and help out the grassroots Republicans?
He
It's
should have been defending Dick Wildens, who's had a couple of terrible days lately. We're going to play one of these ones maybe Monday, where he goes on and attacks Jeff Hunt, just viciously goes after him.
like
It's so much fun.
and again, it's like,
With the aid of Billy Thorpe. I mean,
how dare, you know, the Colorado Republican Party and Dave Williams put out a pro-Trump mailer.
yeah.
It's like, how dare they do that? So we're going to be talking about that a little bit too. And they will not like it that people are pushing back. But that's thank you to everybody on Zoom, Thomas, all the great guys at BBS Radio. And everybody, remember, catch our shows at chuckandjulie.com. You can see us on Rumble and everywhere too.
And thank the ships at sea and the military and the police and first responders. Who else, Julie?
Oh, it's quiet. I'm just thanking our friends. Gratitude is an underappreciated or an under, there's no such thing. There's nothing wrong with
Teachers, non-unionized teachers
nothing
want to
wrong with
thank
gratitude. We are grateful for all of you guys, maybe not Chuck as much of the time.
Bye-bye,
Anyway, no, we're grateful for you.
everybody.
We'll see you. Happy Party Friday.